Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Monday afternoon. Nate and TD, Fridays during the 6 o'clock hour right here on 102.5, the game. And one of our guests last week called out our next guest, Nate Washington. Charlie Batch was on and said, I want to know what Nate Washington, what's his prediction for this game? Well, Nate made his prediction Friday during the 6 o'clock hour. And, Nate, I believe you picked the Titans to beat the Steelers, did you not? And has Charlie found out about this, and what did he think about your prediction?
Well, I don't think he's found. Well, if he has, I'm pretty sure when he talks to me, he'll definitely let me know. But, you know, this was a great, great game. You know, it went exactly the way I expected it to without the ending that I expected. You know, I knew that the Steelers would be, you know, hell bound on stopping the run game and the physical nature of the Titans, and it was going to be a hard first half of the Titans. I had an inclination that the Steelers would win the first half, but I was definitely relying on the Titans to make the push in the second half, as where they were on a lot of teams, to make that physical push and try to come out on the end as a game. But unfortunately, it just didn't pan out that way for the Titans, but definitely a great game and well-deserved of both teams.
Titans wide receiver A.J. Brown was out there 93% of the time when the Titans were on offense, and he obviously had a huge day against a very good Steelers defense. When you see A.J. Brown, Nate, what do you see through your wide receiver eyes?
Oh, man, the full package. You know, as a guy that played the position, you know, I wanted to go out there. I knew my thing was speed. You know, I knew my thing was route running. I had pretty good hands to catch the ball with my hands for a receiver. And, you know, there was a lot of things that I wish I could get better with. But, you know, a lot of things are just due to nature and God. You know, my size and those type of things that I would love to have, you know, those things just don't happen. But when you look at AJ, man, you see the full package. You know, you see the size. You see the ability to catch the ball. You see the speed is still there. The strength is there. You see a guy that isn't even at his full potential yet, you know. So every tool that he could possibly use and need is going to continue to grow in his package. This guy is definitely something that the Titans needed. Now, I'm not going to lie, you know, when we first drafted him over DK, I was like, you know, well, what's going on? Because there was such a huge hype about DK in the draft that year, especially with DK's size, you know. So there was some confusion for me personally, not, you know, really knowing, but seeing this guy play now, you know, I can understand completely why the Titans went the direction that they went when they drafted him.
Speaking of DK, did you ever run anybody down for about 90 yards and tackle him at the two like he did last night on Sunday Night Football? That was pretty darn impressive.
Hey, man, you know what? I'm going to tell you this. In the NFL, it is definitely difficult, especially, you know, he's not chasing a linebacker or
right.
defensive lineman. He was chasing, you know, a safety, a DB. You know, those guys are pretty fast, too. So to haul that guy down like he did, man, that's definitely impressive. I have nothing on my credentials of that in the NFL, but definitely in college, you know, I got a couple chase downs. But for DK to turn on that speed like he turned on and that determination to go make that play, it was definitely big for them because they ended up, you know, the defense stood up in that next drive and held them to no point. So that was definitely a big play for that team last night.
If Seattle would have pulled that game out, that would have been all everybody would be talking about today, how that play would have been so significant in the Seahawks' victory. But you know, it'll be shown in that room. You know how the room works. It'll be shown all week to his teammates going, this is how – you know, this is winning football right here. This is what a winning culture looks like. This is what guys do to try to win. And, you know, so he'll get the praise in-house for sure. So I want to ask you, you played football for a very long time. And whenever there's doubt about your kicker and you're not sure every time that he goes out there that you can count on him, and that seed of doubt is in everybody's mind, maybe they're not talking about it openly, but it's just there. What does that do to a room?
Well, let me be clear about this. You're completely right. You know, this subject may never be, you know, discussed verbally, but, you know, this is a concern. You know, you go out and you work hard at your individual position to make sure you put your team in play. And it is imperative to have trust in every single guy that puts on those pads with you. You know, that's the reason why a lot of teams become so tight, because we have so much trust in each other that it becomes family. Now, I don't want to create the depiction that, you know, now Stephen Gostkowski is not family, but that's the type of trust that you must have in the guy that's going out with you, no matter if you're a receiver and he's a kicker, you're a linebacker and he's a right tackle, he's a center and you're a holder. It doesn't matter. You know, you have to have complete trust, because football is not the one-man sport where one man can go take over a game. You got a great receiver, you still need a quarterback, and then the quarterback still needs an offensive line. Like, it's all interchanging. There's not one position that's going to be greater than the other. And when you look at this type of situation, you know, there's going to be a huge concern when you don't have the dependability in your kicker, because a lot of these games, you know, come down to 1-2 points in the end. And those 1-2-3 points in the end are going to need to be, you know, secured by your security guy, your kicker. Unfortunately, you know, that's not the situation here with the Titans right now. Stephen Gostkowski has had a wonderful career, you know. But as they say, it's what have you done for me lately? And I'm pretty sure that there is huge concern, not only from this coaching staff, but from these players about how they move forward, whether it's, you know, an adjustment that he can make, or in complete honesty, if this is a guy that they may need to replace, unfortunately. Because I think no matter how much you enjoy, you know, having family connection and family trust in a guy, at the end of the day, it's a business. It's a business, and the business is winning. And in order to get that done, when the Titans have been affected as they have been this season with the field goal kicking, this is definitely going to have to be something that they address.
We're talking to Nate Washington, former Titans wide receiver. Nate, your perspective could be really valuable here. We know that the issue for the Titans is third down. There's a lot of passing situations where they're not getting a lot of heat on the quarterback. What are you seeing in the coverages? You know, Ben Roethlisberger, he was getting the ball out quick. There wasn't a lot of time to get to him, but it seemed a little too easy at times for him to hit his man.
I agree with you. The one thing I see with the Titans defense right now is just they're trying to play safety ball, meaning they want to eliminate the big plays, but they're giving up a lot of smaller plays that are affecting the game in a major way. One play that I can definitely think about right now off the top of my head is the shallow drag to Juju Schuster in the last drive that they had. That, you know, Malcolm made the hit on, spin him in the air.
Right.
But that play in itself was significant for me because, you know, a lot of teams, even in that situation when he's been comfortable back there, you want to go with the package that's going to get pressure on the quarterback, which entails pretty much a man-to-man coverage. But in that specific situation, the Titans seem to be in a zone coverage. Not only were they in zone coverage, but they seem to be about 2 or 3 yards behind the first down yard marker, which means to me that they want to take away the big game, but they're going to give up the short game and rely on rallying and making the tackle. Well, they were so far back at that moment that he was still able to catch the shallow drag cleanly and still get the first down. Those type of things are significant for me because, you know, there are going to have to be plays that this team is going to have to trust and be able to go man-to-man, not only to get pressure on the quarterback, but to create different looks. And in those moments, you know, is this going to be the opportunity for the opposing team to create their big plays? And that's something that's definitely going to be addressed. I told, you know, Chase on Sunday postgame that, you know, for a Titans fan, you have to kind of be egregious to get a Dory back, but at the same time, you're happy about at least having a bullet like a Dory in your chamber that hasn't been shot yet, short to say. He is going to definitely boost this pass defense. I think his ability to play man-to-man coverage, two-play man-to-man coverage in the slot is definitely going to help and boost this coverage out a lot and give these guys opportunity to make some plays on the ball. But as you look at this defense right now and the pass defense that they have, you know, not getting home consistently to the quarterback and playing soft defense in the back end, it's giving up a lot of short plays that are creating major havoc.
So do you think it's maybe just mixing in a little bit more of the press coverage where you're not giving the receiver that kind of cushion or free release off the line?
Well, here's the thing. You have to press, but, you know, you also have to work with what you have. And, you know, I'm not sure that there's complete confidence from the coaching staff in the secondary of press man-to-man coverage. You know, there's been some plays here throughout this season that unfortunately they've given up in a major way, you know, and I'm pretty sure I've said this on pretty much every interview that I've had that I'm good friends with at least three of those guys in that secondary, but they'll attest to it. You know, they aren't, you know, happy with their play right now because I know they expect more of themselves, and this just isn't, you know, significant to playing press man-to-man all the time. You have to play with what you're capable of doing. And I think they're trying to do their best in mixing it up. And their best card to play right now, unfortunately, is a soft man-to-man zone that will allow them to rally to the tackle instead of giving up the big play.
We're talking to Nate Washington, former Titans and Steelers wide receiver and co-host of Nate and TD Friday nights at 6 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Nate, what are you seeing that the opposing quarterbacks are doing to – whether it's getting rid of the ball faster, which you kind of mentioned, or we've seen the sidestep that Brady was so good at. Darren points that out quite a bit. What is it that the opposing quarterbacks are doing to get away from the pass rush that the Titans throwing at them?
Well, I think the first idea is the most significant. You know, the ability for these quarterbacks to get the ball out of their hands quickly is due to game planning and understanding the opponent that they're facing. You know, the Titans defense, as I said, they're not a huge man-to-man press cover team. There's been a lot of zone coverage. So that gives the ability to a quarterback to take the short, you know, snap and go quickly with the ball as of where trying to get the ball down the field where he would end up holding it longer and allowing the pass rush to get home. I think, you know, this situation rings a lot to me when I think of Dick LeBeau. Back in the day, there was a conversation that I once had with him, and he told me, you know, when you face a lot of quarterbacks that are not Tom Brady, that are not, you know, significant in their game plan of how they approach the situation, I guess I can put it, they get greedy, you know, and a lot of these guys take deep shots when they're not there. But when you get a good quarterback that comes out and understands what the defense is giving him, like a Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Brady, they're going to get the ball out of their hands quickly and allow their playmakers to make the play. And they'll take it the whole game. They're never going to get gritty. They're going to live within their scheme and their game plan and understanding who they're facing. And that's going to hurt that defense because the defense is always going to think bend but don't break. But those short, snappy passes – are the ones that kill you, get you down there, keeps you on the field. You know, I think we were all expecting as media personnel for this Pittsburgh Steelers passing offense to be significant in this game plan. But at the same time, I don't think I took into consideration their pass game taking up the time of possession that it took up. Why? Because they were getting the ball out of the hands fast, and they were short, quick passes that are a lot similar to runs. So, you know, that kept their time of possession at 6-7 minutes a drive. Those things are significant, you know, and when you're trying to beat a team that is as good as the Pittsburgh Steelers, not only on offense but defense, time of possession is going to kill you if you're the Titans. So those things are, you know, significant for the sake of looking at it. I really feel like, you know, back to your original question, that this is a game plan situation for opposing quarterbacks to come in and know that the Titans will be in a soft coverage and they can get the ball out of their hands fast and create a major situation for the Titans defense.
I brought this up with you yesterday on our Facebook show, but when I watch Corey Davis, when I've watched him this year, there's a different type of confidence with him, and I know you've seen that too. He had the touchdown yesterday. He's not racking up all the yards all the time, but he's making the play when they need him to make the play. Is some of that just he's gotten out of his own way, he's gotten out of his head, and is some of it just the pressure's lifted because he knows that everybody's going to think AJ's number one, and he's more comfortable in his role.
Okay, well, let me be completely transparent with you here, Chase. You know, as a former player, there was a certain time of my career that I was, you know, hearing things about myself in the media and about my approach to the game. You know, you hear things from your family and friends about your team and your situation. So, you know, at one point in time, I just felt like, you know what, forget it. Let everything go, Nate. Go out there. You're going to be in the weight room. You're going to be the first one in the weight room, the last one out of the weight room. You're going to be the first one in the meeting room, the last one out of the meeting room. You're going to be the first one on the field and the last one off the field. And my sense of urgency mentally and just focused in. And I truly feel like this is kind of the situation with Corey. Also, in all honesty, with his contract situation. You know, I'm pretty sure he's tired of hearing, was he worth the first-round draft pick? What does he mean to the Titans? Now AJ's here, and that makes, as much as it may give some relief to Corey to have AJ on the other side, I'm pretty sure it also is driving a fire to say, hey, look, I know we got AJ Brown. I know he's great, but don't forget about me. I bring something to this table too. I believe in myself being a number one receiver. And I believe that that's the chip that I see on Corey's shoulder right now. I see a chip that's going into a contract season, has heard the speculation about his game, has now put himself in a position to say, you know what? I don't care what they say about me. I'm going to go out here and let it all hang out. Leading it on the field, and everything afterwards, we're going to deal with accordingly. This is a guy that I've seen not necessarily boost his confidence, but release it. He's finally releasing his confidence to focus in on the game and go believe in what he can bring to this Titans offense.
He's Nate Washington. He's former Titans wide receiver, Steelers wide receiver. Nate and TD Friday nights at 6. Hey, Nate, appreciate it as always. Talk soon.
My guys, appreciate y'all, man. It's always love. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. He is Nate Washington, and good insight there with not only the receivers, but the rest of what we saw yesterday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They win that game 27-24. We'll have more coming here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Are you and your kid going to dress up as maybe a Predators player or Titans player or an Asheville SC player or a sports star for Halloween? You can enter ESPN The Game Nashville Sports Costume Contest. That's presented by Wilson County Hyundai, thegamenashville.com for a chance to win a $100 gift card to Nashville Underground. All you have to do is submit a picture of you or your kid in the sports costume. You're entered for a chance to win. Contest closes Monday, November 2nd, so a week from today. Get in there and have a little fun with that, with a little sports theme here as we are in the week of Halloween. Appreciate Nate Washington for joining us. Don't forget Nate and TD, Friday night, 6 o'clock hour, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Anything jump out to you guys on what Nate saw and assessed on this Titans team and the game on Sunday?
I really like his assessment. I think we're all, you know, really honing in on what they will do to try to adjust and make the third down situation better. And, you know, I would be honest. You guys tell me if you feel differently. I don't know if I ever really put my finger on it and said to myself, this, if you were to label the Titans defense, it is a bend but don't break defense. I don't know if I've ever used the term, but it sort of dawns on me, and Teron said, well, they've sort of been doing that for the last 2 years. I guess he's right. And so I just think they have to be better at doing it that way if that is what they're going to be. And so Mike Vrabel touched on it. They've just got to start by being able to have a much better batting average. When they get to third and long, they've got to take advantage. They can't let a guy catch the ball short of the chains and run for the first down. They've just got to be able to clamp down. If you're going to play off coverage and give them a couple yards, then you've got to tackle really well. And that's not happening right now.
Let's go to Alex, who's weighed in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alex, what's up?
Gentlemen, happy Monday, and thank you so much for taking my call. Where can I start? I mean, there was so much good football that we've seen this weekend. I mean, it was just exceptional football. But first off, my hat goes off to Mike Vrabel, coaching staff, I mean, for preparing these players. And even though we did not win and we put it on Gostkowski to win that game, but I give my hat to Corey Davis for showing us, competing to catch the ball. Also, A.J. Brown, I mean, just balling. I mean, and it's exciting football. And through wins and losses, we can't take them all. But, yo, I'm happy for this Titans organization, from Amy Shrunk all the way down. And I am very satisfied with the complimentary football that is happening. You know, mistakes are made, but I'm just very happy. And well done, guys. But in a loss, you know, love you guys. Y'all have a good day.
All right, thank you. You too, Alex. So he's happy and satisfied.
Optimistic. Optimistic outlook.
Optimistic, yeah.
And I think if we're being fair, when they were sitting there at 3-0, before all of the issues happened with the virus, right, that really it really stressed them, right? Label it however you want. That affected them a lot. If you'd have told me they were going 2-1 in the three games, Bills, the rescheduled Steelers game, and the Texans, I think I'd have taken it. I don't know about you guys.
I think to what he's saying, if you're going to make a point for Alex and why you would feel that way, it's kind of like what we talked about earlier. I mean, if you really get down to it, I mean, because of Steven Gostkowski, because of some things that have happened, the way their defense has played, I mean, they could easily be a 3-3 football team. Now, sure. As I said earlier, you don't apologize for being 5-1. You get wins however you can get them. The way I look at it, any level. It's not just the NFL. Any level. You get wins however you can get them. Wins aren't easy. You know, whether you're playing at 9 years old in travel ball or whether you're playing at the highest level in football in the National Football League, winning is hard. It's not easy. You take it however you can get it. But with that being said, looking at some of the deficiencies that they have and some of the glaring weaknesses that they have through six games, they are very fortunate to be 5-1. So if you are looking for the glass to be half full, they could easily be 3-3, and nobody would be questioning it. But instead, they're 5-1.
Yeah, and here's the big difference. Think about last year. There were some games that they lost that we go, how? And it's because of missed opportunities, misplays or mistakes or however you want to put it. And to your point, this year they do have deficiencies. They do. We saw it yesterday. But they're also making plays, making these big plays that they haven't made, whether it's a tip pass and intercepting it, you know, getting a key stop when they need it, making a first down conversion that they weren't making before. So you do have to look at it that way too.
Batting down a two-point conversion attempt?
Yes. Yes. So you have to factor that stuff in. And I think too, I don't know if this is a 2020 thing or what, but there does seem to be a little bit more of when something goes wrong, and we're all guilty of it, but whether it's on Twitter or after the game, that, oh, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. And they're 5-1. I mean, that's still a good team. I said it when I first came on. It's a playoff team. The Titans are a playoff team. Right now, they are a playoff team. Long way to go, but they are a playoff team. And if these two teams meet again, I expect a lot of the same. I expect it to be a close game, and I think this team is good enough to get the win. They do have to worry about some of the deficiencies we've talked about today. They do have to try and clean up some of those things. I do believe Adoree Jackson is going to help. It's not going to just solve all the problems. We have to get out of the business of one guy just making everything magically go away. That's not going to happen, but it's certainly going to get better. And I think that that is, you know, you do have to have a little bit of the glass half full. I mean, you know, Alex was feeling pretty good today. I don't feel as good as Alex because, you know, I'm here to talk about some of the things that need to be fixed. But at the same time, I mean, there are some good things that are going to help carry this team.
The question is, everybody's identified and everybody knows, including them, what needs to be fixed and can you fix them? That is the question. It was very clear in the press conference that we played an hour ago from head coach Mike Vrabel. He is fine with Jadeveon Clowney's play, or at least he's not going to talk about Clowney's play publicly. So I guess we don't really know the answer, but he is not publicly going to act like he's concerned about Clowney's play and how he needs to give more. The other one is he seems to be, once again, whether he is or isn't, publicly he is saying to us and to everybody who's listening, I'm fine with my kicker. I'm okay with it. I don't have any concern. Steven's my guy. Like I said, whether that's true or not, this is what he is saying publicly. But how do you fix that? Because to me, you know, 6 field goals and 2 extra points through 6 games is just unacceptable in the NFL, especially for a guy with his pedigree, a guy that has had an unbelievable 15-year run as a kicker in the league and who has been at the top for more years than he hasn't. I mean, he's been at the top for a decade plus as one of the top kickers in the league. That's pretty hard to do, considering we know how inconsistent kickers are, period. I just read the stats earlier today. So there's only 2 kickers in the league, if you didn't hear earlier in the show. 2 kickers and 2 kickers only who are perfect on the season for kickers who have attempted double-digit field goals. So 10 or more field goals this year. There's only 2 kickers in the league that are perfect. That's how inconsistent kicking has been. And that's just field goals. I didn't even count extra points.
Okay,
it's just field goals.
But I want to, because this got me thinking, Darren. In the league, and since 2013, even I'll go back to 2012, when kickers in this league, if you are not hitting 84% of your kicks, that is below average. Right, the average the kicker said. This year it's 84.6%.
That's so counting everybody.
That's everybody. Now, Steven Guskowski is 10 for 16. That's 62.5. So let's put it into perspective. He's got to go 4 for 4 on his next 4 field goals just to get to 70%. So he's a good ways from even getting up to average, which he's been better than average. He's one of the, it was a well-known story when they signed him. He's one of the best of all time in field goal percentage. So this is very baffling that he's missed this many. So you just wonder, is there something physically that is happening that is just making him not the kicker that he was before the injury? Because he's been extremely consistent in his career. It's just not like him to miss this many. So I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. The first week was the first week. It was a nightmare. He got through it, and since then he's made some huge kicks. But the last 2 weeks, it's just not up to the standard of the league, and that's just the nature of the job, right?
Well, I was looking at the extra points as well, and I'm just trying to figure out, okay, so who's missed 2, right? Because 2's a big deal. Sly in Carolina's missed 2. By the way, before I get to who's missed the most, is going to blow you away. Koo in Atlanta has missed 2.
Right. Since they moved it back, it's about a 94%. It was getting to the point where, for example, 2014.
Zerline in Dallas has missed 2. Badgley with the Chargers has missed 2. Sloman with the Rams has missed 3. So actually, I didn't know there was a 3. So there is somebody who's missed 3, and that's it.
Yeah.
So there was those guys that I mentioned with 2, they're with Guskowski, and Sloman with the Rams has missed 3. Do you know who's missed the most in the league? There's one guy who's missed 5 extra points.
And he still has a job?
Yes.
Who is it?
He'll never get it. That's what's crazy.
Bucker. 5 missed extra points?
Yes, Bucker.
Yeah.
Harrison Bucker in Kansas City has missed 5 extra points this year.
He's scored so many touchdowns.
He's getting bailed out, I guess.
How many field goals has he missed?
1. He's 13 of 14.
Really?
Yep.
See,
yeah.
It feels like it was, more, but it's the extra points.
It was 40 to 49.
Well, they had this in mind that there were going to be some. It's now around 94%. Since they moved the field goal, they moved the extra point back. It was getting to the point where the league average was over 99% for about 6 or 7 straight years. It was just an afterthought, right? So they wanted to make it more challenging, and they have. So it's okay over the course of a season to miss a couple. But the average is about 94%. So you shouldn't be missing very many. So it's just Gostkowski right now is well over par if you're doing it at a golf. He's just over par, even though he's made some tremendous shots, right? Some of those field goals he's hit 5 for 5 from 50. It's amazing. So it's certainly not time to give up on him, but he's got to get some birdies here to get back on pace to where he is up to standard for the league.
Yeah.
Well,
but
if you're at the bottom of the league and he has more misses than Cincinnati, when you say it's not time to give up on him yet, when is time? I mean,
I think another game like this, you just have to bite the bullet.
Okay, but are we talking about
even if he does it again in Cincinnati? If he misses anything in Cincinnati, you're saying you just have to deal with it?
Yeah, but it's a completely different. It's one thing to lose to the Steelers that are on the same level as you. They're a very good team. But if he misses kicks and they lose to the Bengals, I mean, the sky really will start falling.
Well, like I said, the only reason this is not fire and brimstone today on Gostkowski is the fact that they had won the other two games where he was a disaster. That's the only reason. If they lost those two games, today we would have loaded lines of people saying, we don't want to hear how Cotton Steven you trust. It's time to get a new kicker in here, whether it's the guy that's currently on the roster or somebody else. But the fact is they won those two games where he was not good, and they could have easily lost because of him. The only reason that today we don't have loaded lines about the kicker is because this is the first time he's actually cost them a game.
But also, he's
and we don't
won
know.
Them. He won them
we don't
two
know.
Games.
He would have just put it in overtime.
Right.
He won them. He won them two games.
Yes.
He did.
Even
he
though
them
he
the
was pathetic in one of them.
No, the Jacksonville game and the
he
Minnesota
won them the
game,
Denver
he
game.
Won those games.
Yeah, he won the Denver game.
He won
too.
The
he
Denver
hit,
game.
He hit the
he missed
game when
three
he
field goals and an extra point.
Right, he won the Denver game, but those were easy. Those were easy kicks. I'm giving him. He went above and beyond what a kicker is expected sometimes. Like they would not have made those field goals last year, right?
Right.
The Jacksonville
game
and the Minnesota game. Those would have been losses if it was the caliber of kicking they had last year. So,
but you say
it's
he made
really
easy
interesting.
Kicks.
They've had this music. They've had this musical chairs thing. He had an incredible game against the Vikings, off the charts, and that won them the game. They didn't have the margin for error for him to miss any of those kicks, and those were all difficult kicks. A lot of them, the last two in particular.
Agreed. But the bottom line is, stats don't lie. The stats are saying he's the worst kicker in the league.
By percentage, no question.
Yeah. Well,
he's below, I mean, he's below
what else
standard.
What else do you want to compare it to?
But okay, so let me ask you this, Willie. Let me ask you this. It's the AFC Championship game against Kansas City in Kansas City. It's a repeat of last year, except we all agree that the offense for sure is definitely better for the Titans. It's a close game. It's 4th and 1. It's going to be a 42-yard field goal to win it and send them to the Super Bowl. And you know the problems that he's had this year. Are you more inclined, if you're Vrabel, do you go for it? Or do you say, well, he might make it and he might not, but we're going to kick it?
I think the bottom line is if he continues at 62%, he won't make it to that point. He's got to do better or else he just can't keep the job.
Right.
And then
so
I have to know who the other
decision.
Well, I got to know who the other guys are. Who are candidates? Like, hasn't Jacksonville changed kickers like three times?
Willie, I think everybody in the league has almost everybody in the league has changed kickers.
So why is that? Why? I mean, are the kicking
numbers
that?
Jacksonville has used like five kickers. No, the kicking numbers are good. The kicking numbers, I told you, the league is kicking 84.6% of field goals. 84.6.
So is that up or is that down?
That's about average.
Jacksonville is just
last
a guy
year was
by
an off
name.
Year. Last year was down for the league, 81.6%.
Yes.
That 81.6 is the lowest in the league since 2009. So every year, other than that, it's almost dead on. 84.6 this year, 84.7 in 2018, 84.3 in 2017, 84.2 in 2016, 84.5 in 2015. 84.0 in 2014, 86.5 in 2013. So you get where I'm going. That's the standard. The kickers have almost mastered this thing to where it's almost their own worst enemy, because if you hit anything below that, you're like, what's going on? What's wrong with this guy?
Jacksonville has used 5 kickers this year. 5. We're in October. They've used 5 kickers. Some guy named Brandon Wright, I don't believe it's the 6'11 basketball player.
Could be.
From Nashville. They've used Josh Lambeau, Rosas, I guess is his last name.
Sure.
Aldrick Rosas, Jonathan Brown, no clue, and then now they have Hauschka, right? Hauschka.
Did you say Lambeau? Was he?
Yeah, Josh Lambeau.
I want to say Brown, when he played his one game as the kicker for the Jaguars, was attempting his first career field goal in his life. Not just like NFL in college, but like in his life. He was like a kickoff specialist, and he came in to attempt his first career in-game field goals in his game with Jacksonville.
Not good.
But the other kickers, even there are guys, it's not just Justin Tucker, right, who is his normal self. He's 13 for 14. The guys that you see every year, Butker, as you mentioned, he's had big issues with extra points, but he's making the field goals. But you mentioned it. There's some guys that are not household names, like Blankenship, the rookie for Indianapolis, 16 for 18. Joey Sly, Carolina, how long has he been around? He's 17 for 20.
He's missed 3 field goals and 2 extra points.
Randy Bullock, 17 for, but this is good. I mean, if you're 85 to 88%, that's better than average. So no, you're not expecting perfection in field goals, but you got to have more than 62.5%. You got to be in the 80s. If you're not in the 80s, you're below standard.
Yeah, let's go to Joe. Joe is want to weigh in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Sorry I'm driving. I got a GPS going here. But, you know, that was just a painful, painful loss. It was heartbreaker, but it was just because of that missed field goal kicker. And I think a lot of it has to do with what we know from this kicker and what the mistakes that he's made. I mean, he's had some great games and he's had some bad games. But you got to ask yourself, and I agree with you on this, too, is, you know, when do we say, okay, this is an issue? Because when I look at this defense and I look at this offense, if you put this offense on last year's defense, Super Bowl team, without a doubt. But the problem last year is we also had a field goal kicker issue then. And so it makes me wonder, you know, are we reaching here in the offseason? We've got a lot more problems than the kicker, and granted, a lot of games shouldn't come down to the kicker if you're doing things that you need to do, but it's definitely a necessity that you have to win in this league. And you have to have a kicker that can kick over 80%. And yesterday was just a heartbreaker, but I want to ask this question. You know, do you think it was a right move in the offseason to A, get rid of Ryan Suckup, and B, for John Robinson to save just $2 million and trade a seventh-round pick to get rid of Jarrell Casey, what our defense would look like and what our kicking situation would look like had we had not done that? I appreciate the call, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right, thank you. You too. I don't know if Jarrell Casey, the same thing would have happened here. Obviously, knowing what we know now, being lost for the season at the beginning of the year, then, yeah, it's a right move. And considering what they saved on the cap, they did get Clowney here. So I don't think you can go back and worry about that move, even though he was, when I said they need another dude, like Big Jeff, you know, when Jarrell was healthy and playing, he is a dude, right? You have to worry about what Jarrell Casey is doing on the field. So, I mean, I don't question that move. Especially even knowing what we know, I have no idea if it would have played out that way. Even if Jarrell was playing all year, I mean, I think if they had Jarrell, it's safe to say they wouldn't have Clowney. So, you know, what do you have? And we don't know if Jarrell would have been available or not available.
Yeah, I've gone way past that. The salary cap move in the long term was good too, because Clowney is a 1-year deal. If it doesn't work, you move on to next year, you're not out of any money. Casey's deal was still a couple more years, and so you got rid of the contract So I'm not looking back on that. The suck up one is a really interesting one because he has gone back to his standard of being a good, solid kicker. He's 11 for 13. I think the rap on him was he was getting to a point where he was not, he didn't have the range that some kickers have. And it's a good thing that Gostkowski does have the range because he's hit five for five from 50 or more. And to win the Vikings game, I don't know if Suckup had the leg to hit
has
both of those, right?
His misses are from long, 40 or more. So he's been very good, than 40, but his misses have come in long situations.
Right. And I think throughout his career, that's probably a little bit more well, let's look at his career. From 50-plus for the Titans, 3 for 4, 2 for 5, 3 for 5. So, you know, he's got the ability to hit those, but I don't know if he can get out there to 50, 55, 56 at this stage. But I think it is a fair question, right? I think they could have brought him back. That was an option, right? Because he was injured. He was on IR, right?
Yep. All right, we'll come back and put a bow on Monday's edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Thinking about the kicking woes of Stephen Gostkowski, Billy, you put out a pretty unbelievable,
unreal.
I mean, it's staggering when you see it in print, like you just put in a text. And I want you to repeat it to the listening audience, because if this doesn't put things in perspective, where the head coach today was at least publicly saying, you know, I got no concerns with my kicker. I'm okay with what's going on. And we've stated he's the worst kicker in the league statistically. And if he got better, which he needs to, what would it mean?
Well, right now, as we said, the league average of field goal kickers is 84.6%. And that is not uncommon from what we've seen in the last 10 years. Kickers are really good. And so that's the standard that's been set. Right now, Gostkowski is 10 for 16 in field goals, 62.5%. So if he were to make his next 15 straight, 15 in a row, perfect, that would make him 25 for 31 on the year, which puts him at 80.6%. So even if he hit his next 15, he would still be below average. Now, as we've said, it's a little more complicated than that because he's hit some huge kicks for them. He's also missed some huge kicks. So you can't do anything about what has been done before. You have to ask yourself, how is he going to do? Is the law of averages stating that he's going to start hitting more? I would certainly hope so for his sake, because you can't – you know, what's crazy is, what were they last year as a team? You know, 10 for 18 or something?
Did they attempt 16 field goals last year?
I think it was like 10 for 18. it was way below standard last year. So they're used to this. So it's like the bar has been set low. But, like, we've forgotten what it's like to have just an average kicker. So that's the thing they have to assess. Is he going to get it straight and start coming back around, or is there a better option out there? To me, one more subpar game, you have to try something else. You have to try something else.
If he made let that sink in. If he made 15 in a row, which would quiet everybody, right? Quiet everybody down. If he made 15 field goals in a row moving forward, he would still be, after those 15 consecutive makes, still be below league average.
Yep.
That's
that's crazy.
Whew. Let that digest for a minute.
Yeah, and how's everybody going to feel, like the scenario I painted earlier? I mean, you know the numbers, and I know the stats don't tell you the whole story. He's been in big-time kick situations before. But if he's lining up to send your team into the playoffs, let's say, I mean, I can't watch. I'll be like Barry Trotz used to do for shootouts and just turn around. Like, won't watch the play. Like, I just wouldn't be able to. That's astonishing.
Right. And we do have to be fair, and we've said this a couple of times today, that one of the kicks that has to be made was the one that was blocked last week from, what, 27 yards?
Yeah.
So you can't always put that. Like, sometimes the kick being blocked is a little bit on the kicker because he kicked it low. I don't think that was the case. That was just horrible protection. So the holder, the snapper, the protection, all of that feeds into it, too. It's not 100% of the kicker, but we know he's got to get better. He's got to get a lot better.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, rest of your start to what hope will be a great week. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then. One last call for alcohol, so finish your
whiskey or beer. Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.